Say, okay, I'm cutting the hedges outside. I said, all right, I tell you what. I said, did you ask God? Did you ask your father if it was all right? I'm asking you, Daddy. I said, no, you need to go ask your heavenly father if it's okay for you to go to that concert. And I told her, and I said, and whatever he tell you, I'm in agreement with it. If he say you can go, then it's all right for you to go. If he say you can't go, then you know you're not going. I said, but whatever he tell you, that's what you do. And she didn't like it, but she went on back up in the house. And so I finished all the yard work up, went on inside. And she's sitting on the couch. I said, well, what about your trip? She looked at me. I said, oh, so you got your answer, huh? I said, he talked to you, huh? Yes, Daddy. I said, I got to teach these children not to depend on me. They need to depend on God, because I ain't going to always be there when they have to make decisions. We all need to learn how to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We need to all stay full of the Holy Ghost so we can be the blessing God intended us to be. Amen. So he can bless us the way he want to bless us, and so that we can be the blessing that he want us to be. So if you need to get your fire back today and you need to rededicate your life, I'm going to tell you, you need to recommit to God. The first thing you got to do is repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry I done wasted time, wasted resources. I hadn't been doing what I'm supposed to do. I repent. He going to forgive you. He's already decided to forgive you. He going to forgive you. Then you make a commitment and surrender yourself again. Say, Lord, I submit to you. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my first love. I'm coming back to you today. And then you just let him take you from there. Amen. Praise God. I can give you more instruction next week. I'm going to pray that Jesus will give you a fresh anointing. Because he loves you. He want to be the biggest difference maker in your life. You got to let him. He really does love you. Make a decision to abide in him. Say, I'm going to abide in you, Jesus. I'm going to let you abide in me, and I'm going to abide in you. Submit yourself to God. Amen. Because we need the Lord. Amen. And then walk in the fruit. Walk in the fruit. Praise the Lord.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
The best of the old, the best of the new, the best variety in music.
Great variety of music,
different music,
tons of music.
It's awesome.
On online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. This is Moses sharing with us a more exacting with the children of Israel historically about choices that they will make, how that it shall affect them greatly. And after understanding that, though this word is to the Israelites historically, it is to the believers pragmatically. And therefore, we must be conscious of the choices we make and how God himself will deal with them. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that thou mayest know I have set before thee life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Verse 15 says, see, I have this day set before thee life and good, death and evil. My brothers and sisters, one of the things that Moses was sharing with Israel was that God was giving them a review, a look in the past at what they had done, what they had been, and what they had chosen. That their past had made for them some terrible situations. And yet, in spite of that, God, being as gracious, as kind, and as wonderful, loving the children of Israel with the love that only he could love them with, gives them an opportunity to get their past straight, to straighten up what had been done wrong in the past, where they had made bad decisions in the past, where they had served other gods in the past, where their lifestyle of old could be turned around and given a brand new opportunity to walk in the newness of life and love with God afresh. This would come by the choices they would make. And I thank my brothers and sisters when we realize each and every day how many choices we make from the moment we get up in the morning till the time we go to bed at night. We make choices after choices after choices after choices, and make no doubt about it, those choices have consequences. It may not be immediate consequences. We may not always see the end effect when we make the choice, but no, once we have made the choice, we cannot control the consequences. Moses gives us a word, and this word is so important because it is the content. And content produces character. Character produces choices. Choices produces consequences. But listen at this, you can't have proper consequences unless you make proper choices. And you can't have proper choices unless you have proper character. And you can't have proper character unless you have the proper content. And the proper content is the word of God. Moses is telling the people of God, sharing with the people of God, what thus saith the Lord. Now look at this 19th verse. This little devotional message I want to share with you this morning, and then I'm going back to my seat. But look at what the word says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. There are five things about this verse I want to share with you. First thing is that God has multiple witnesses. Multiple witnesses. Witnesses in heaven and witnesses on earth. Why are they so important? Because the word of the Lord says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God want to make sure that you have no excuse when you make your choices and have to deal with the consequences that you forget you made the choice. And when you can't handle the consequences, you can't blame them on God, because it wasn't God who made the choice, it was you. How strange it is, how unusual it is that we make the choices we want to make, but when all hell breaks loose, we want to act like this choice was thrusted upon us. God said, I've called some witnesses in heaven and in earth. You're going to find out that when you have to come to judgment, there are going to be some witness who will step up and say, I'm an eyewitness. He made the choice. She made the choice. And you gave them the opportunity to make their own choice. So first thing we see is that God has multiple witnesses. He says that thou would know that I have set before thee life and death. Listen, blessings and cursing. Now, not only does he have multiple witnesses, but God gives us multiple choices. Second point, multiple choices. Listen, life and death, blessing and cursing. It's our choice to either obey God and be blessed or disobey God and suffer the consequences. The choice is ours. We are not robots. God made us free moral agents. We could choose our own desires, choose our own destiny, choose our own decisions about what it is we want to do. If we decide that God's way is not our way, God gives us the choice to do like we want. But here's what he says in his word. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know how it is when we know something is wrong, we try to sit there and justify it. In our own mind, we try to sit there, rethink it. We try to retweak it. We try to fix it so that it works in our favor, so that we will have a conscience that would allow us to make our own choice and not feel bad about it. Well, they hurt me. Well, they said it to me. Well, they did it to me. But that's not the way we act toward them according to the word. When God has given us a commandment. Listen, verse 16 deals with commandments. Verse 17 deals with choices again. Verse 18 deals with consequences. And here we're back in verse 19 with more choices. Choices, choices, choices. God gives us these choices so that we won't ever be able to say God forced us into this life that we are now dealing with, but we made choices. When you look at your life right now, some of you are enjoying the best days of your life. Can I tell you, it's in part to your choices? It's in part because of your choices. Can I tell you, some of you are going through some of the worst days of your life. Can I give you a helpful holy hint and tell you it's due in part to your choices? A lot of us jumped, made decisions without being properly informed, without taking the time to consult God, acted as if we knew everything there was to know about the situation, the issue. We didn't have to confront God. We didn't have to do no research. We didn't have to ask God's permission. We didn't have to say, Lord, if it be your will. Because right at this point, I think this is what I want, but you know best. But we didn't consult God. We made our decisions and then said, God bless it. But God don't bless mess. And so we are dealing with some of the messes of our own decisions. And God knows that we, like the worldly songwriter, have said in our hearts, if we didn't say it out of our mouths, if I could turn back the hands of time. Why would you say that unless you made some pretty bad decisions? Unless you messed up and made some mistakes that still haunt you today. Consequences after your choices were made, you found out that there were some difficult, far more difficult issues you had to deal with than the simple choice you made. Who did not follow God's word. So multiple choices he gives us. But listen at this. The choice is life or death. Life or death. But then with that comes blessing and cursing. Now it's interesting because he said blessing and cursing and not blessings and cursings. One of the reasons why it's not talking about a blessing or a cursing, but it's talking about the matter of blessing and the matter of cursing. You go back to chapter 28, beginning at verse 1 through 14, and it's talking about the blessings of obedience to the people of God who obey and honor God. Verse 1 through 14 lets you see these blessings. They're there, right there. When you make the choice to live and obey God, here are the blessings God promised you. But here, listen, in the same chapter, are cursings, beginning at verse 15 all the way down through verse 68. You list cursings. He lists cursings. And if you look at those cursings, they came because the people chose death. And all of these things come with death. And so when we begin to look at that, we'll understand why the choice is ours. Blessing, cursing. You get all of the blessings he promised the people of God, the believers, if they obey him and chose life. But to those who chose death, he gave them, from the 15th to the 68 verses, cursing that they would deal with because of their decision. Third point I want to make in this verse is that he gave them masterful counsel. Masterful counsel. Why? Because he says, therefore, choose life. Whether you're a scholar or a simpleton, he helps you out with the answer. Choose light. I know the devil is dangling a whole lot of stuff before your eyes. He's dangling this and that. He's tempting you with this and tempting you with that. But here God is saying, choose light. I promise you, you'll be more satisfied with the rewards of life than you would with death. Therefore, choose life. You remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus one day and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? Because Jesus understood that this young man was playing him. What do you mean playing him? He says, there's none good but God. He didn't come to Jesus as a divine potentate. He came to him as a good teacher. And he tells him that he wants to know what it takes to be a good teacher. He, in other words, he really tried to show flattering words to him. You know, like, you know how people say, yeah, Bishop, you sure did that. You ain't no bishop, you're barely a brother. Oh, Doc, well, you was on it. Doc, you still the patient. You know, folk try and lift you up, build you up, make you think you all of that, and get your head where they want it so that your answer could be pleasing to them. Jesus lists 6 of the 10 commandments. And he throws his chest up. I've done all of these things from my youth up. Then he asks Jesus a question. What lack I? Well, Jesus says, you've done all this and that's good, but you lack one thing. He say, sell all you have and give the money to the poor and come and follow me. Now listen, if you had done truly everything that he told Jesus he had done from his youth up, which meant that he was actually following the law, which literally meant that if he kept the law, then he would not be condemned. But what he did not realize is the law could not save you. But the law condemns you. So the moment you broke one, it's as if you had broken them all. Jesus knew he had not kept all of them. So he gives him a litmus test. This man had great riches. His trust was not in God, but rather in his money and in his fame. He had been used to a certain lifestyle. He had been used to a high reputation. And so because of that, he was not willing to depart from that lifestyle and sell what he had, giving the money to the poor, and then following Jesus. Till the Bible said he made a choice to go away sorrowful. And so his choice was not to follow Jesus, not to inherit eternal life, because he could not give up. He would not give up his earthly material blessings. He made a choice to stay with the lifestyle he knew. And that's why a lot of people won't be saved today, because they don't want to give up the lifestyle they know. They know this. They like this. They do this. They're comfortable with this. But they don't know what it takes to follow Jesus. And they're afraid of the changes and what they would have to let go. You've got to let go sin and embrace the Savior in order to be saved. You've got to let go self and embrace the Savior. You have got to put your desires aside and take on his and follow the Savior. And a whole lot of folks say, well, I'm too young. I got a lot of life ahead of me. Do you? Do you really know when your life will end? Do you think the enemy is going to let you become old and gray and party out your life and live all the way that you can and desire to live and then get ripe and old and then let you find Jesus? No, if it happens, it happens by the grace of God, that God keeps you here long enough for that. But every day you let Jesus pass by, it's a choice you make to accept the way of the enemy and choose death rather than life. He gave him masterful counsel. Therefore, choose life. Fourth thing is, in that same part, he tells them, make a choice. Choose life. Make a choice. Why make a choice? Listen to this. Because if you don't make a choice, a choice will make you. Well, what does that mean, a choice will make me? That means if you don't choose, listen, by your own volition, then you've already made a choice by not making it for Jesus. In other words, if you don't choose life, I got news for you. You're already on the path of death. You ain't got to do nothing. Just stay where you are. You ain't got to say nothing. Just say what you've been saying. Do what you've been doing. Because death is going to catch up with you one day. See, you've got to choose life. If you don't choose life, you've already chosen death by default. By default. Some folk, how many times have you had some decisions that you decided they were too difficult for you to make, so you wouldn't make it? And then discover that a decision was made for you. See, you have the ability to change your condition, your situation, but it takes faith to do it. And the question is, will you make the right decision or just float along until the wrong decision chooses you? Then last, there's this thing called matter of course. You see, when you choose life or death, there is a course that follows. It's like, have you ever heard people say, he's on the right path? Or he's going down the wrong road? It's what's called the matter of course. When you make the right decision to choose life, then you have a matter of course that the good things follow you. It don't mean that there won't be some bad days. It don't mean that there won't be some troublesome days. It won't mean that you won't have some problems every now and then, but the end will end up good. But if you choose death, you might have some good days. There are some good things that will happen to you. Why? Because God lets it rain on the just and the unjust. He lets the sun shine on the just and the unjust. Both of us are going to have good days and bad days, regardless of whether you choose life or death. But the end result is going to be what you have chosen. And so when you've chosen life, you have an expectation of blessing. You have an expectation of God bailing you out, picking you up, turning you around, giving you what he promised you because you chose life. When you choose death, listen, you made your own mind up. You your own man. You your own woman. You do what you say do. You don't listen to nobody. You don't take nothing off of nobody. You made that choice, and death and hell follows you. And therefore, on that trail, The devil in hell is the one who orchestrates your every turn. And destruction and death will be the end.